Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
But this week, we are going to bring our sermon series called Make to a close. This has been a six-week series looking at what we would call the Great Commission. This call that Jesus gives us as his followers, as his disciples, to go into all the world. And we're called to be discipled. We're called to grow up in the Lord. We're called to grow up in our understanding of him and our relationship with him. But even more than to go into all the world and be discipled, we're called to go into all the world and make disciples, that you and I, that we, that each one of us have been given this call, this command, this mission, this purpose, whatever you'd like to call it, that Jesus gave to his first followers. But we're also looking at the truth that it wasn't just for the first followers of Jesus that this was the call on their life. It wasn't just for Matthew or Peter or John or Bartholomew or whoever the first disciples were. It wasn't just for them, but it's for you and it's for me. It's for us today. It's a call for you. It's a call for me. It's really what it means to be a Christian. That if we're going to be followers of Jesus, that we would be a people who would grow in our relationship with Jesus. That our relationship with Jesus wouldn't just serve as a prayer I prayed one time where, in case this whole Christian thing is true, when I die, I think I'll get into heaven. That's not what our relationship with God is supposed to be. That's not what our faith is supposed to be built on. That one time I prayed a prayer just in case. And if it turns out that that's true, then I beat the system, and I get to go to heaven. But we're called to enter into a relationship with Jesus, where we would have this connection that would grow and foster and become more real and more real and more real. But then as we grow in our relationship with Jesus, we would not just grow in our relationship with Jesus, but as our relationship grows, we would be led to tell other people about it. When my wife and I first started dating, we had kept our relationship pretty quiet. I was a pastor at the church, and so there was a lot of people who were invested in my finding a spouse. And Yvonne knew a lot of people in the church as well. She didn't come to the church at the time, but she knew a lot of people. And so when we went on our first date, almost nobody knew it was happening. We kept it very quiet, very secret. I knew, and she knew, and her mom knew. And that was about it. And the only reason her mom knew was because Yvonne had to leave in the middle of her little brother's birthday party to go on the date and had to explain why, in the middle of like her 7-year-old brother opening his presents, she was going to get up and leave. And so that was it. That was just about, nobody else knew. And we went on a date and we went on a couple of dates. But the natural result of our relationship growing was that we wanted to tell people. We wanted people to know. I wanted people to know someone tolerates me. Someone is willing to spend time with me. We wanted to tell people we were in a relationship. And it's just the natural overflow of those things. As our relationship started, maybe it was like, well, let's just keep it quiet just in case it doesn't work out, and then we don't have people freaking out and all these kinds of things. But as it grew and as it developed, we're like, we need to let people know. And the same thing would be true of our relationship with Jesus. That maybe as it grows and develops, the natural overflow of having Jesus in our life wouldn't be that we just kept it quiet. that the natural overflow of my relationship with my wife wasn't that we dated and we got married and we started to have kids, but we didn't tell anyone. It was just a secret. Nobody knew. And all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, guess what? I've been married for 20 years. Like, you know, the natural overflow is you want to tell people. And our relationship with Jesus should look like that. That as we grow and we develop, that it wouldn't be the secret part of our lives that we kept hidden away from the world, but that we would come to want to share, to tell, to expand on our relationship with Jesus. But our relationship with Jesus is such that we're not just called to tell people about Jesus. We're not just called to simply inform people. But Jesus will actually call us and commission us, and he'll say, your job is to help people grow closer to me. That we would both share our relationship with Jesus with other people, but then also help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. See, I didn't do that with my wife. I didn't help other people grow in their relationship with her. It wasn't like, I'm dating Yvonne, and you should too. That wasn't how our relationship went. Is that, no, I'm dating Yvonne, so you don't get to. But with Jesus, I have a relationship with Jesus, and you should too. And so this week, we're going to take one last look at what Jesus had to say about the call that he's given us. And we're going to do this with a little bit of a different twist this week. But first, let's look at the verses we've been focused on. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, that will say this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded to you. Go into all the world and make disciples. See people come to Jesus. See them be baptized and see them grow up in their faith. That's what we've been called to do. We're called to go into all the world, see people become followers of Jesus, see them get baptized and see them grow up in our faith. That's what we have been called to. That's the part that we're called to play in the world around us, and that's the part that we're called to play in the lives of the people in the world around us. But today I want to explore this call just a little bit differently and focus a little less on the call. We spent the last 5 weeks unpacking this call. And this week we're going to spend a little less time focused intensely on the call, but we're going to focus on something that comes along with the call. See, God is so faithful in his word that every time he will call us to do something, every time he will call someone to do something, when God asks something, he doesn't just demand obedience. He doesn't just demand compliance. He doesn't just say, you do this. But when God gives us a call, when God commands us to do something, when God asks us to do something, when God commissions us to do something, he brings something along with it as well. See, he will ask us to do things. All throughout Scripture, he's asking people to do things. But when God asks his children to do something, there's always something that comes along with it. When God asks us, when God commands us, when God commissions us, it always comes with a promise. We talked last week about how we're not called to do things for Jesus. We're called to do things with Jesus. And this week, what we're going to unpack is these times when Jesus gives us this call. Each time, it comes along with a promise. A promise to do something or be something that will help us both to fulfill that call, to fill that command, but then also just in life. That if we're living our lives for Jesus, Jesus makes a promise to us. And for our time today, I want to give you three promises that God gives us in connection to our call to go. And to do that, we're going to look at three different times where Jesus gives us this command. Jesus gives us a different expression or iteration of the Great Commission in Matthew, in Mark, and in John. Now, each one of these, they're not the same event. It's not the same time Jesus said this. Jesus says it in different times and in different places in each one of these gospels, because if you've ever worked with people, if you've ever been in charge of people, especially if you've ever had kids, you know that you don't just tell them something once. You don't just say one time, hey, this is what I need from you. Got it. Good. Great. We'll never have to talk about it again. But in order for us to be able to train people up and to teach them and to have them understand what it is we want of them, sometimes you got to repeat it again and again and again. And so what we see is at these different points in the story, Jesus comes back to this command or this call again and again. It's not the same instance. It's not Matthew and Mark and John all recording the same words spoken by Jesus at the same time in the same place. But instead, what we see is Jesus would come to this thought again and again and again with his followers. And so if we go back and we want to read Matthew chapter 28 again, verses 19 and 20, it will say, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the call. That's the command. That's the commission. But Jesus doesn't give us a call or a command or a commission without giving us a promise. And so immediately on the heels of this call, this command, this commission, Jesus gives us this promise. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' promise is that he will always be with us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, wherever the journey of life takes us, wherever our career leads us, wherever our home is, whatever life looks like, he will always be with us. There's strong words, surely and always. Those words convey like a consistency, a never-changing nature of Jesus' promise. It's not sometimes I'll be with you and sometimes I won't, but I'll try to be there more than I'm not and we'll do what we can. It's not somehow inconsistent, but it's a continuous, unwavering one. And we read that it extends to the very end of the age. Now, the phrase end of the age, it's not the literal translation. It's a phrase that we would use because it makes sense to us. We understand what that means, to the end of the age. The actual, if you were to take the words and translate them out, the actual phrase that used there is for all of the days. Is the way that that's actually, it would actually be like literally translated, that surely I will be with you for all of the days. And there's a promise that sits in there, because what that tells us is that all of your days, the good days, the great days, the days you will never forget for all the right reasons, God was there with you. The bad days, the hard days, the difficult days, the days you will never forget, not because you want to remember, but because your mind will never let you forget. All of the days that were wholly and completely unremarkable, that you will never remember because there's no reason to remember it. All of the days, Jesus was there with you. Jesus doesn't say, I'll be with you sometimes. He doesn't say, I will be with you if. He doesn't say, I will be with you when. He simply says, I will be with you right now as you are. Not someday. Not the day your marriage is fixed. Not when you feel brave enough. Not when you clean up the sin you'd swore you'd never go back to. Now, right now, even when the tears are still on your face, even when your Bible is closed and collecting dust. Even when you're wondering if any of this is true anymore. The days when sleep doesn't come. And the days when everything hurts. The days when you snap at your spouse and you immediately regret it. The days when sin knocks and you open the door wide open. The days when God feels as far away as the moon. Even those days, especially those days, we have the promise of God's presence. Jesus says, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age, every day. And so as we face the daunting task of making disciples, we're reminded that we don't do this alone. That Jesus isn't just like a manager who might pop in from time to time and check in and see how you're doing. Hey, we haven't talked for a little bit. How are things going? How are you doing? Is there anything you need help with? Is there anything I can lend a hand with? You're doing great. Awesome. I'm glad to hear it. I'll be back when I make my way around again, but I'm glad to hear you're doing good right now. Jesus doesn't just pop in case we need a quick hand with something. But we're promised that he will always, in every circumstance, in every relationship, and in every conversation, in all things, at all times, in every way, surely we will always have Jesus with us. His presence every day, every hour, every breath, until the end. The next place we can find in Scripture Jesus giving us the same type of command or call, just like the Great Commission, is found in the book of Mark, chapter 16, starting at verse 15, where Jesus gives his followers another call or another command connected to the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 15, Jesus will say to his followers, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, to everything that'll listen, share the gospel. Another place where we're called to share the good news of Jesus, to give what we've been given, to share what's been shared with us, to go and make disciples. And this promise comes, or this call comes with a tremendous promise. In verse 17, Jesus will say, and these signs will accompany all those who believe. Now, what we do need to just chat about for a second is that some of the promises that Jesus has made here, they're taken and they're used in a way that Jesus never meant for them to be used. And some people have taken these promises and they've twisted them and they've decided to build a theology around some things that Jesus just never meant. And so it will say this, and these signs will follow those who believe in my name. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. What we see there is these promises that Jesus is going to work in us and we're going to set people free. That the Holy Spirit is going to give us his gifts. That God is going to protect our lives. And we're going to have the ability to do miraculous things through Jesus. But there's people who have developed this promise into this theology that will say, I can handle deadly snakes. And God will protect me. We can do that in church and it'll be great. And then those people die. Because that's not what Jesus meant. There are people who believe you can drink poison and God will protect you. That's not what Jesus was indicating here. That all of us at all times can do all of these things whenever we want, because we found a loophole in the terms and conditions. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Don't think you can go pick up snakes or drink poison. These were not promises of these incredible acts for everyone at all times in every circumstance, but evidence that God's power would be present whenever the gospel is proclaimed. In the book of Acts, we read that Paul was shipwrecked on an island and he was bitten by a snake and God miraculously healed him. And we see the fulfillment of these kinds of promises. But my friends, don't misinterpret the promises of God. But what we see here is that Jesus is promising more than just his presence. And in the last promise, we saw that Jesus promises, everywhere I go, or everywhere you go, I will be with you. But here we see Jesus promising more than just his presence. He's also promising his power. We have the promise of his power. Jesus is promising that the power of God will be at work before you get there. That the power of God will be at work while you're there. And the power of God will be at work even after you're gone. That we're not called to make disciples because of the amazing things that you can do, not because of how great and how awesome you are. Listen, I know you. You're great. You're awesome. But it doesn't matter. Because you're not called to make disciples out of how great and how awesome you are. You're not called to be this charismatic life coach that just takes on everybody all around you and does everything to make them into something. And if you're not doing it, it's because you're not enough. Listen, my friends, you are not enough. You cannot do it just based on who you are and what you have to offer. But that's why Paul will say, therefore, I boast even more in my weaknesses. Because where I'm weak, it's where God is strong. And so in our own lives, we don't have to live or pretend or walk as if I'm good enough. I'm enough. I can do this. I got everything. I'm good. We can come and we can say, listen, I can't do this. It's beyond me. But we have the promise that we're not doing it, that we go in God's power. So when we ask ourselves, how can I do this? How can I be who God has called me to be? How can I be who God has created me to be? How can I imitate him? How can I follow him in life and in ministry? The answer is found in the gift of the indwelling and empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Lori talked about that a couple weeks ago. That we are called to not walk and live and do our faith out of the reservoirs of strength that we have in our lives. But we're called to do it through the power of God. In the last place that we're going to read about Jesus giving us another version of the Great Commission is in John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's wrapping up his time together with him, and he says this in verse 21. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus was given a mission to go and change the world. And Jesus says, the same way I was given a task and a reason and a purpose, I'm extending that to you. I'm giving you your task, your reason, and your purpose. And Jesus tells us that we are to go. And we see Jesus sending his first followers on their mission. But again, Jesus doesn't send them with just a go. He sends them with a promise. Verse 21 will fully say, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus' words, peace be with you, it's not just some kind of greeting. It's not somehow just some kind of phrase. But Jesus is giving them his peace. See, Jesus knew and Jesus understood that when Jesus was to send his followers out and they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus had commanded them, that was going to come with a whole mix of emotions and thoughts and understandings. that there was going to be insecurity and there was going to be fear and there was going to be worry. There was going to be a sense of overwhelm. There was going to be a sense of confusion, a sense of loss, that there was going to be all kinds of things going on in their hearts and in their lives. And Jesus knew that if I'm going to send you to do this, I can't send you out in that mix of awfulness. I need to send you out with a peace. But we're told that the peace of God passes all understanding. And what that means is that there's a peace that comes with understanding. That there's a peace that we can understand in our lives and in our circumstances. We all experience moments of peace. Moments where things are quiet. Moments where maybe the kids are gone. Or maybe your husband's away. Or moments where the conflict is just quiet. Moments where that person at work that drives you crazy, you didn't pray for them to get sick. But while they're sick, you're not exactly praying for them to get better either. Because it's peaceful. It's quiet. There's no conflict. That's peace with an understanding. We can understand why it's peaceful. But Jesus will say that his peace passes understanding. Because it's not based on whether or not your kids are home. It's not based on whether or not your husband's driving you crazy. It's not based at, oh, shoot, he got better. It's not based on our circumstances. It's based on something bigger. It's a peace that gives us a sense of calm when our hearts are meant to be troubled and offers us assurance in the face of fear and uncertainty. It's a more of a deep sense of wholeness and well-being that comes from God through Christ. Jesus offers us a peace that's not dependent on circumstances. But it's a gift given to believers. It's a state of being, a deep-seated tranquility that remains even when life is chaotic. On Friday night, we had our small group, and I hadn't thought about this at all this way. But, you know, we were sharing some prayer requests for each other, and without getting into a long story, I'm in the middle of a seven-month-long credit card dispute with CIBC. 7 months ago, somebody stole our credit card number and bought some stuff. And 7 months into this, and it's still not resolved. And I was relating some of the story to our small group. And as we were sharing, Charles said to me, "Sounds like you've been really nice to them. It sounds like you're not that upset. I don't know that I could do that." And I hadn't thought about it. I thought, yeah, you're right. I should be more upset. Thank God I'm not. I don't know why I'm not. As I was preparing my sermon and reading through my sermon this morning, I was like, oh, hey, it's happening for me right now. Isn't this cool? It's been 7 months of fighting and not getting emails returned and all this chaos and nonsense, and it's money sitting on our credit card and all these things. But God gives us peace. We have the promise of his peace. Jesus had previously promised his peace to his disciples in John 14, 27. He said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." I don't give you a peace that's understandable. We can find peace in the world, but it's a peace that's understandable because it's built on our circumstances. It's built on what's going on. But Jesus says, "I have a peace for you that's different than that because it's not built like that." So he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." A few years ago, back in 2021, we did a whole sermon series on this verse, and it's one of my favorite sermon series that we ever did. If you wanted to go back and spend some more time with this verse and with this concept of peace, the sermon series was called Courageous Peace. You can find it on our website. But now here in John chapter 20, we see Jesus fulfill this promise. He says, "I'm going to give you peace. Not like the world gives, but I'm going to give you peace." And here we see Jesus say, "I'm giving you this peace." So when you find yourself in the middle of the worries, of the stresses, of the fears of life, there's a couple of words I want to remind you of. But God's peace. I may be worried about my future, but God's peace. I may be worried about my finances, but God's peace. I may be worried about my health, but God's peace. I may be worried about my job, but God's peace. I may be worried about my kids, my spouse, my calling, my career, but God's peace. We can rest assured and not be afraid, knowing that God's in control. Every time Jesus tells us to go, he gives us a promise to go along with it. So as we as a church have walked through this calling on your life, and your mind and your soul may have responded with a series of never-ending yeah buts, that as we've talked about, you can do this. God has given you everything you need. You can do this. God has equipped you. God has called you. God has purposed you. You can do this. You don't need to be what you're not. You just need to be what you are. You can do this. That internally, you may have responded time and time again with, yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, but I don't think he knows everything going on in my life. Yeah, but my Auntie Betty used to say, yeah, buts live in the forest. Like a pun on rabbits. But in the face of every yeah, but, we have these promises from God to help us walk out this call. You have his presence, you have his power, and you have his peace. And as we choose to walk in the fullness of everything God has for us, not only will we discover the fullness of our purpose and the fullness of our identity, we talked about at the very beginning of all of this, we talked about how you will never feel more fulfillment and you will never feel more of who you were called and created to be than when you're doing what God has called you to do. That you will never feel more fulfillment, you'll never feel more joy, you'll never feel more purposeful than when you are fulfilling your purpose. And for each one of us on an individual level, that can look a little bit different. And that's why you do the things you do, and that's why you can find a way to enjoy the things you do, is because God has called and created you to do those things. And that's why we can look at each other and their jobs or the things we do in life and go, I don't understand how you can find joy in that. But they can, because it's what God has called and purposed them to do. But on a bigger level than just us as individuals, as people, God has called and created and purposed us to be a disciple-making people. And I promise you, as crazy as it sounds to you, you will never feel more purposeful. You will never feel a greater sense of intention about yourself. You will never feel better about yourself than when you're doing the things God has called and created you to do than when you're making disciples. And so not only do we get this sense of purpose and this sense of identity and this sense of calling and that this deep sense of fulfillment in life, but we also discover that as we walk out the fullness of who God has called and created us to be, we get to experience the fullness of God's promises in our lives. That we get to experience the fullness of his presence, the fullness of his power, the fullness of his peace that comes from being right where God has called us to be. So let's go. Not in fear, not in our own strength, but in his presence, his power, and his peace. The world is waiting for us. The mission is still the same. So three takeaways for our time together. You are sent, but you're not alone. Being a Christian isn't just simply about receiving salvation. It's about being sent into the world with purpose. But Jesus doesn't send us out on our own. The presence of Jesus is not conditional or distant. It's here now and always. Jesus didn't just call us to go, but he promised to go with us. Second, God's power works through willingness, not perfection. Many hesitate to try and live out their mission because they don't feel qualified. They don't feel capable. They don't feel like they can. But this promise of God reminds us that our role is to be faithful with what we've been given. God supplies the power. We don't need to be impressive. We just need to be available. And lastly, peace isn't the absence of trouble. It's the presence of Christ in it. Following Jesus in his mission does not remove difficulty. In fact, it probably brings us more of it. But the peace Jesus gives isn't circumstantial. It's not understandable. It's sustaining. The kind of peace that guards our hearts when fear, stress, or uncertainty rise. We can face what's ahead not because it's easy, but because Jesus is with us in it. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that even as we've looked at this call and this responsibility that we have to go into all the world and to make disciples, to take on this big challenge that you've given us, this mission, this co-mission that you've given us. God, I thank you that you didn't ask us to do these things apart from you. But God, I thank you that we see even in your call to go and follow you. God, I thank you that we see an incredible picture of who you are and your heart towards us and the promises you've made. And so God, first I want to pray for each one of us today. God, may we become more aware of your presence in our lives. In the places, in our stories where we're unsure of where you are, God, I thank you that we have the promise that in all of our days, God, you will be with us. And so, God, I thank you that all of our days includes today. And so, God, I pray for each one here today who may be kind of looking for you, who may be looking out and wondering, where is Jesus? Where is my Savior? Where is my God? Where is my friend? God, would you open our hearts and our eyes to see you today? God, I thank you that your presence in our lives is not conditional and it's not occasional, but God, it's consistent and it's permanent. And so God, I pray right now for each one of us. God, may we see your presence in our life today. God, would we see you at work? May we see you with us today. And God, I pray for those who maybe are feeling insecure, feeling unsure, feeling like they're not aware of their own capabilities. God, I thank you that we don't have to simply trust that we can do this. But God, I thank you that in you, we find the power to do what we've been called to do. God, I thank you that you don't give us this job without giving us the tools to do it. And God, I thank you that the tools that you've given us are found in your Holy Spirit. And so God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in each one of us today. God, would you grow us? Would you develop in us? Would you give us a deeper sense of purpose and a deeper sense of calling and a deeper sense of what you can accomplish through us? God, I pray that you would be showing in us today what it means to rely on your Holy Spirit, to trust that your Holy Spirit is working in us and through us. And God, I pray that we would become a people who wouldn't just become dependent on your power, but would become confident in your power, that we would be able to walk knowing who we are and whose we are, and that we would be able to walk boldly in your power. And lastly, God, I pray today for those who are living in the chaos, those who are living in the uncertainty, those who are living in fear, those who are living in anxiety, those who are living with questions too big for the answers they have, those who are living with no answers to the questions they have. God, those who need peace. And God, I thank you that you don't give us peace dependent on our circumstances, that you don't give us peace just dependent on how things are going. But God, I thank you that your peace is bigger than what we're feeling. your peace is bigger than what we're experiencing. And so, God, I pray for each one here today that needs your peace. God, in this moment, as your presence is here with us and as your presence is here in us, God, would you just bring peace? Would you allow us to take a deep breath, to be able to just experience the joy of air in our lungs, and it would just bring peace and calmness to our lives. God, I thank you that you knew we would be anxious, that we would be worried, that we would be fearful, and that because of that, you give us the gift of peace. And so, God, I pray, would you give those who need peace, peace? God, I pray that we would be a church on mission, that we would be a church doing what we've been called to do, that we would be a church of people going into the world and making disciples. God, I pray that we would not just see this as someone else's responsibility, someone else's job, or someone else can do it, but it can't be me. God, I pray that you would give each one of us the eyes to see us the way you see us, the eyes to see our lives the way you see our lives, the eyes to see our purpose the way you see our purpose. God, I thank you that for each one here, you have uniquely called, created, gifted, and empowered them to be a disciple maker. And so, God, may we walk that out in our lives today. God, we thank you for your calling on our lives. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go.